Thanks, Adam, for those songs. They fit quite well. I appreciate that. And also, John, for that reading from God's Word, as we will spend most of our lesson on that passage in a few moments. Add my word of welcome to everyone. It's so good to see you and be able to be together. And we're grateful that the Lord's given us time and opportunity and a beautiful day on which we can assemble together. As we do that, I encourage you to have your Bible in front of you. As noted, we're going to study together concerning to everything there is a season. And if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to use the opportunity you have at this time, at this moment, to be saved from your sins, to have the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. If you'll have the faith to believe He is the Christ, the Son of God, and confess that faith, to repent toward God, repent of your sins against God, if you'll then be baptized into Christ, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from every stain. And we hope that that will be your response this morning, to be saved in Christ, or to correct sin in our lives as Christians, as already noted, that we can repent and pray God's forgiveness because the blood of Jesus is still active and still cleanses our sins when we will confess them to Him. So we encourage a response to God, to His call, at the end of our study this morning. It's an unfortunate reality that many people live unbalanced lives. And that imbalance comes from a lot of different things. A lot of people live a morally unbalanced life. Romans 1 and 28 gives us some insight into that. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting. When we make a choice to reject God from our hearts, then the natural course will be farther and farther away from God and doing those things that are against God. And surely there are a lot of unbalanced moral lives. Lives lived without God are truly unbalanced lives. Then again, a lot of people live unbalanced lives materially, driven by a desire to be rich and a love for money. They are pierced through with many sorrows, even as Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, noting in both of those verses that when one desires to be rich, when that is the focus and objective, then they particularly fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts that drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, in which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Truly an unbalanced approach to life, to make the possessions of this world, the riches of this moment, the focus and intent of day-to-day living. Then again, others live unbalanced lives spiritually. Whether it be the self-righteousness that's unbalanced, Luke 18 and verse 9, Jesus addressed that imbalance to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught. Or as noted in Romans, the 10th chapter is really not far away from that same point when you see this imbalance of life. The verse says, Romans 10 and verse 2, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. If we don't submit to God's righteousness, then our spiritual life becomes out of balance and needs correction. So, when we live an unbalanced life, morally, materially, spiritually, all of that can contribute to emotional imbalances. We put a lot of stress into our life and contribute to anxiety and depression at times because we choose to be out of balance or we fail to see the need for balance. And well, let me illustrate. We can even bring on physical ailments. because of living out of balance, an imbalanced or unbalanced life. Proverbs 27 and verse 16. Look at this. It says in that passage, Proverbs 27 and verse 16. It's 25 and 16. Proverbs 25, 16. Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. You eat too much, you get sick to your stomach, and throw it up. That's out of balance. So even in our health, we seek a balance that God has arranged for our lives here on earth. Fact is, God created balance in life. Think about it. Of course, the most imbalanced thing of all is sin, right? I mean, that's the most out of balance there is. But God created balance when He created the heavens and the earth. He created light and darkness, day and night, water and land, mountains and valleys, atmosphere and outer space. All of those, man and woman, animals and plants, physical realm, spiritual realm. There's a balance to all of God's creation. And we marvel at that. It becomes a tremendous evidence of the presence and power of our God. At the same time, we have to choose to live within that balance. And as we noted before, a lot of people don't choose not to. But look at Ecclesiastes 7 as we start our study. And note the call to balance in this passage. It says in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 7, consider the work of God. For who can make straight what He has made crooked? Some people live their lives trying to correct, trying to whittle on God's end of the stick. You know, we're going to change the climate. You know. We have the power. No, we don't. Who's in control of the climate? God is. We live in it. It's a blessing. We take care of it. But you see the point? Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what He's made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. Here's our balance. The one and the other, prosperity, adversity, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. It's a good thing we don't have all the answers. He says, we don't know what's coming. And there's some real good reasons why we shouldn't know what's coming. God wants us to fear Him, keep His commandments. But note now, I have seen everything in my days of vanity, Solomon said. There's a just man who perishes in his righteousness and a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous. That's self-righteousness. Nor be overly wise. That's depending on human wisdom, tending toward pride and conceit. Why should you destroy yourself? Get balanced, he says, with righteousness and wisdom. Do not be overly wicked. That is, don't be deliberately wicked. That ignores God. Nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Such deliberate wickedness brings trouble, and often to the expense of our lives. It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. Balance. For he who fears God will escape them all. That is, we'll come through them all. We will come through the day of adversity and the day of prosperity. We'll come through this life if we live this, as some have called it, this golden mean, this balance that God intends. Ecclesiastes is a book about life on earth. And so let's talk about today that in our life here on earth, to everything there is a season. Ecclesiastes 12. The passage talks about the balance of life. And it uses two terms. It uses the word seasons and it uses time, the word time. They're two different words. They complement each other. The word seasons speaks especially about a fixed portion of time or a particular occasion. Nehemiah gave the king an amount of time that he would be going to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. So it was a season. It was a definite portion of time. And then the word time itself, very much like that, speaks to a particular period of time or a moment in time. So there are moments in time, there are seasons or periods of time. And as it says in the first verse, to everything this applies. This applies to everything under heaven, that is, life on earth. Life on earth has seasons and times. And then he makes applications. Look at, for example, the word time is used in Ecclesiastes 9 when he says, time and chance happen to them all, for a man also does not know his time. We don't know the particular moment an accident might happen. Right? We know that. We've seen that. We've witnessed that in our families and friends and loved ones. Brother Dan didn't know that moment was going to happen, but a moment in time happened and an accident occurred. That's life on earth. Those things occur. So, let's talk about moments in time as we live life and seek the balance in ourselves. Because the question has to come to us, am I living an imbalanced life? Have I gotten out of balance in the way I'm living? Morally, spiritually, materially. Has sin caused an imbalance? Or have I overcompensated in one area or the other of just life itself that hinders and becomes a weight for us running that race we studied of in Hebrews 12:1? And so in verse 2, Solomon says, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. We're very familiar with the reality that it's appointed unto men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Birth is again is in the natural process of life on earth, as God has created the procreation of the race. And so there's a time, there's a moment of birth, and there's a moment of death. We all live within those two parentheses, don't we? We live within that context of birth and death. In a similar way, there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck or to reap. It comes to mind, on the one hand, the reality of our life being sustained on earth. Reminds me of Genesis 8 and 22. Remember what God told Noah after the flood? With the rainbow and with the covenant he made with him, he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. I'm not going to destroy the earth again with a flood. And so there's seed time and there's harvest. You plant and you reap or pluck. But that also suggests that while we live on earth, you know, to every purpose or every activity here on under heaven, we have opportunities. As we're born and until we die, we have opportunities to plant, to grow, to experience the relationships of life, the challenges of life, the ambitions of life in a good, righteous, godly way. To sustain life as God has given it to us through work and provisions. More on that in a moment. But in all of that, we see the balance that God has given us. That if we'll balance that, balance the seed time and the harvest, then we'll have opportunities for both. Not just physically, but I'm also thinking spiritually and just the development of ourselves as people to in character and conduct and maturity that God has given us moments in time that it's time to plant the Word of God in our heart, so it will bear the fruit of righteousness. We talked about the time, a moment of persecutions in Hebrews 12, that if we're trained by it, it bears the fruit of righteousness. Time to plant and a time to reap. But in verse 3, he goes on to say, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. The killing, you know, that a lot of people say, well, killing is always wrong. And yet they fail to recognize the distinction between murder and the application of justice. And as God did in His law, in Exodus 21:13, the same law that said, thou shalt not murder, also said, he who strikes a man so that he dies, that is, someone who murders a person, shall be put to death. It would be a time to execute under God's law. There is a time to kill. And the authorities have that authority to judiciously exercise that power. Many who have that authority misuse it, no doubt. But there are moments, there's times and moments when the kill is justified. And in fact, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon would go on to say that when justice is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are set on evil. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. It's a deterrent as well as an application of God's just punishment. But there's also a time to heal. You know, you don't always take a hammer to a problem. Let's broaden our thought from just the matter of executing the criminal. But let's talk about broadening that point. You don't always bring a baseball bat and whack the head off of somebody. Sometimes we need to heal. We need to look for the healing moment. The good Samaritan, you know, he healed the man who traditionally would have been his enemy. You know, that Jewish man who had been left by the robbers. He put him on his donkey. He poured oil into his wounds. He had compassion. There's a time for compassion. There's a time of justice. And in fact, justice correctly applied has an element of compassion, because it also warns others not to fall into sinful condemnation. So there's a time to break down, and there's a time to build up. We see that concerning construction. We build, they last for a while, we tear it down. So the temporary nature of life is under thought there. And all the more, you know, let's remember that when we face the particular emotional or physical challenges of life, these too are a temporary thing. These too have their beginning and end. And so accept that balance, and instead of being destroyed by it. But let's go a little farther here. There's a time, he said, to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There are moments and opportunities and occasions for sorrow. Going to the house of mourning is a place that we have all most likely already been. And if not, we will be one day. The sorrows of life attached to the passing of a loved one, and really a lot of other occasions of sadness, of sorrow, of weeping. There's a time to weep when there's sin. Godly sorrow prompts repentance. Some people, though, weep over sin but don't correct it, like Judas. So there is a time in this world that crying is a good thing. And there's a time for that. There's a time to mourn. There's also a time to laugh, a time to dance. That is a time to have joy in life. And we need to see those times as well. This is the balance. You know, if we only and always just live our life downcast, sullen, discouraged, and disheartened, and mournful, that doesn't do us any good. The pity party is not the place of the balanced life. Now, we all need sympathy at times, and we need to be empathetic people. And that's a balance. But we need to be careful that we recognize there's also a time for joy, a time to be happy, a time to laugh, a time to dance, as he says. This is not the immoral dance. This is the expressions of elation, of being merry. Ecclesiastes 8 and 15. I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun, that is in life on earth, than to eat, drink, and be merry. Oh wait, I thought eat, drink, and be merry was bad. No. When you make that the purpose of your life, it becomes bad, right? 1 Corinthians 15:33. If we're not resurrected, if tomorrow we die, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You see? No, but he says there's a place to eat and drink and be merry. Be happy, be joyful. Enjoy life. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life that God gives him under the sun. He says when you take the moments of life and enjoy those moments and have happy moments in life, what happens? Then on down the line, when you're working and you're working and you're working, God's given you a memory that you can look back and you can remember that joy too. It's a moment of reflection that you see you carry with you through life. Because there will be struggles, but there's also times of joy. There's the balance. God's made life that way. If we'll choose to commit ourselves to see that and live that ourselves. He's given us a map. He's given us a framework to live life on earth. But he goes on and says there's moments in time, chapter 3 and verse 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. Isaiah 5:2 uses a figure, a metaphor of God planting a vineyard. And anyone who would plant a vineyard, he would clear the ground. Or if you have a farm, you know what that means. You had to clear the ground. You had to cultivate before you can plant. A long time ago, it was about going out and removing the big stones, getting them out of the way, you know. Preparing the soil. There's a time to do that. Cast the stones out of the way. It's also a time to gather stones. Because you see, also stones would also be gathered to build a barrier, to build a fence. Well, in our lives, not only is just there the mundane things of, you know, sometimes you got to build a fence and sometimes you got to tear it down. And sometimes, you see, we have to remove those barriers of our lives that hinder us, that keep us from living the life God has arranged for us to live, a balanced life. Because we can get consumed with one thing, one thought, one activity, and it becomes this mountain in our life that we can't get out of the way. And we're always trying to either go around it or burrow through it, and it's just a mountain all the time, and it just decimates us. Let's come back to some reality. There's a time when rocks need to be moved, thrown out of the way. Remember the weight that hinders us? But he says there's time also to gather stones, to build. And so in finding that balance of work and spiritual activity, we can build lives that are successful in serving God and protecting us from the sins of the world. Well, he goes on to say there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There are legitimate embraces and illegitimate embraces. The embrace of a husband and a wife that God ordained in Genesis 2 is contrasted with the embrace of the immoral woman that Solomon wrote about in Proverbs, the first seven or eight chapters. The embrace of a friend is a calming, soothing, encouraging thing. We talked this morning about coming alongside to be a helper, to bear one another's burdens. There's a time to do that. We need to see those times and take those times. That's part of the balanced life, because we give ourselves to somebody else instead of always thinking about ourselves and expecting others to embrace us. Let us also embrace others. But then there's also a time to refrain from embracing. Don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. If I embrace the world, that's my downfall. That's the imbalance of sin that will destroy me. There are some people we ought to stay away from and not embrace. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There's a time not to embrace when those who walk beyond the doctrine of Christ, who walk in darkness, we're not to embrace that. We're not to pull that near. And yet we're to embrace one another with a holy kiss as we serve God together in His family, in His body. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We need to find that in our life to be balanced as we live under the sun. Also, verse 6 says there's a time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. The laborer is worthy of his hire. You work, you ought to get a day's wage for a day's work. There's a time to gain. A time to prosper. Remember, there's a time of prosperity as well as a day of adversity. So there's nothing wrong with that gain and provisioning for yourself and for your family and for others. 1 Timothy 6, we'll go on to talk about verse 17. But there's also a time to lose and to throw away. See, there's a time, he says, when we need to let go of some things. Don't always be a pack rat. In Acts 27, when the storm was raging, you remember what they did on the ship? They began to throw the tackle overboard. And then finally they threw the wheat they were shipping, they were carrying, overboard to save the ship, to save their lives, really. Sometimes we need to get rid of some things and reprioritize our life, lest we hold on to things we ought to throw away, and we keep the things that will destroy us. We need to see, have wisdom and perception to know if by my possession, that possession is taking me away from God, or if by that possession I'm helping to do the will of God in casting those things upon the water, serving others, and glorifying Him. Moments in time. Moments in time. There's a time, he says, to tear, and a time to sow. You know, the idea of tearing, especially in the Bible, we read it quite often about someone tearing their clothes in grief. You know, rending their clothes or tearing their clothes. Sorrow, deep agony, mournful expressions. In Genesis 37, I believe it was Reuben, wasn't it, that did this when, Genesis 37:29. Then Reuben returned to the pit where Joseph had been, and of course his brothers had sold him by that time. And indeed, Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. Why did he tear his clothes? He was distressed. He was beside himself with the moment. Or Jacob, verse 34, when they told him of Joseph being dead, as they lied to their father, and he thought he was dead. Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his waist and mourned his son many days. There's a time to tear. Sometimes we have to tear things that we prefer not to, but because others have torn sin, the relationship due to sin, there's a time to tear. There's a time to end, but mourn. But there's also a time to sow, to put that back together. after that period of mourning, the clothes would be sewn back. They wouldn't always and continue always to live with torn clothes. There would be a time when that mourning would end and the sewing would occur. We need to work to sew, find our time to sew back things that have been torn in relationships, in our families, among friends, among brethren. There's a time to sew. And those moments are our opportunities to have balance in our lives. There's a time, he said, to keep silence and a time to speak. Now this is a big one. Time to be silent and a time to speak. Think about that with me for just a little bit. You know, and the Bible teaches what people often express in this way: silence is golden. There's advantages to sometimes being silent. We're told to be slow to speak, James said. Look at Proverbs with me, a couple of these from Solomon. Proverbs 17 and 27. He says, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of calm spirit." It's intriguing and I think insightful and helpful for us to see that the man that has the knowledge doesn't feel compelled to let you know how much he knows. He spares his words. He has a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. The problem with a fool is he doesn't do that very often. He usually opens his mouth, you know, when he ought not. There's a time to keep silence. There's a time to realize, I might not have been there yet. I might not have done that. It might be better for me to keep my mouth shut and learn and grow from those who have been there and done that. Have the insight that I can learn. So there's a time to be silent. There's a time to be a student, simply put. There's a time to be a student. Chapter 18 and 13, he who gives an answer to a matter before he hears, it's a folly and shame to him. There's a time not to say a word if we don't really know what's going on. Oh, how often we fall into that pit of an unbalanced speaking. We don't really know all the facts. We don't really know the situation. But boy, we got an opinion about it, and we're going to let you know it. We're going to share that. No. The balance of life is to hold back. You may not know everything. And part of the balanced life is understanding that and then applying that to what we say or don't say. Chapter 23 of Proverbs in verse 9 says, 23:9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." He says there's times, sometimes you just don't say anything if you're dealing with a fool. Don't say a thing. Remember, he would also say, "Don't answer a fool according to his folly." So there's time to be quiet. There's a time to keep silence. There's also a time to speak. And you see, the challenge of us is to know the difference, to find this balance in life. Very quickly, Proverbs 15:23, words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and settings of silver, right? There's a time to speak. Jeremiah tried to be silent in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, and he said, "I couldn't contain. I had to speak the word of God. I couldn't be silent any longer." We have to have the wisdom to give wise counsel at the right moment. There's a time for it. And there's a time to be quiet. That is a constant. I think that's a daily challenge for us. For all of it is for me to know when to say something and when not to. Because you see, if we can get that down based within the parameters of God's will, God's truth, then we're going to be an asset and a blessing to those in our lives. Our life will be more balanced. I must go ahead because he says there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You see the parallel notion here: love and peace, hate and war. So a time for love and peace. Supposed to love our neighbors, right? Supposed to love our enemies. There's a time, a moment in our lives where we have those opportunities. We're to love God with all of our heart. We're to love our brethren. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We're to seek peace and pursue it. We're to, as much as within us, live peaceably with all. Romans 13, or 12 and 18. The balanced life looks for the opportunities of peace, always expressing love toward others. But also, he says there's a time to hate and a time of war. Now, we're taught to hate evil. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Hate the evil, love the good, Amos said. Paul echoing that in the New Testament. So we're to hate evil. We're to despise it. We're to make war against error. We have a warfare. It's not of the flesh, but mighty before God, the pulling down strongholds in every imagination against the thought of God and His will. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. We got to fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight. There is a war against the devil. So we take up the armor of God to have victory through it. There's a time to love, you know. And there's a time to despise. We've got to distinguish and recognize we're not to love the world, but we're to love the sinner. We're not to despise them. We're trying to help save them, turn them back to God. But we cannot do that unless we also hate the evil and fight against those things that are against God. Balance. Balance. Well, in the last few minutes here, our time is up. What are some keys to finding and maintaining this balance of life? Here's the first one. We need to accept that all of our whys about life are not going to be answered here on earth. Why is it this way? Why is it that way? Why this? Why that? We're going to have to accept that that's not the place of the balanced mind or the balanced life. Again, Ecclesiastes 8, 16 and 17 teaches it. When I applied my heart to know, what's the why? I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that's done on earth. Why is life the way it is? Even though one sees no sleep day or night, I could give night and day to this exercise. Then I saw all the work of God that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Joe, all your whys are not going to be answered. Why do people do this? Why don't they do that? That puts us in an unbalanced place. We're not going to have that answer here. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. Solomon tried to find it. And you know what he said? He said, be balanced and understand. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's point number three. Here's what we can do with this. If once we'll accept this, it's about learning contentment. It's about learning contentment. Back up to verse 14 of chapter 8. There's a vanity that occurs on earth. A futility about life on earth. That there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. And again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Why is it that the good suffer and the evil don't at times? So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of the life which God's given him under the sun. Learn contentment. Because all the whys aren't going to be answered, now I have to choose. Will I live by faith in God? Will I trust that the answers God has given me are the ones I need? See, the answers to the whys that I need, God's revealed. The secret things belong to Him. If I want to live a balanced life, I'm going to have to learn to be content. with a little or a lot, like Paul. I've learned. It's a learning process. It's a learning process. That's the first key. Number two, enjoy life. You don't have to be a Christian, meaning that you got to, that every day is just a headache and a problem and a distress. But boy, I'm a Christian. No, instead, find the balance that will help you enjoy life, because God wants you to enjoy life. It's His blessing to you. Chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, see it in 18 through 20. Here is what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. For it is his heritage. It is his portion. Now see, the problem, the lack of balance comes when I desire those things and love those things before God. That's where we started tonight. But you see, God says, be responsible in your daily living. Verse 18, work, toil, benefit from that. That's your portion. That's what life is about. Enjoy life. Be responsible. To be balanced, though, secondly, rejoice in God. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Rejoice in what God blesses you with. Have your rejoicing, your joy centered upon God. He's at the heart of it. And thirdly, do your work. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Be working. Be active. You want to find and maintain life's balance? Enjoy life by being responsible, by rejoicing in God, and by doing the work set before you. Simple, really, isn't it? And yet it's a life's endeavor. It's a life's endeavor. Not so simple to do, simple to say. But it's clear in the book of Ecclesiastes. The third balance, key to balance, fear God and keep His commandments. Chapter 12 and verse 13. This is the whole of man. This is our duty. This is why we are here. Fear God and keep His commandments. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Enjoy life when you're young, but don't forget God. Balance. And when you get old, remember God. Balance. Balance. Except we're not going to know everything now, so be content. Enjoy life, meet our responsibilities, rejoice in God and do our work. Keep His commandments. Fear Him and obey Him. Let's close by remembering Solomon as our illustration. In the 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes indicates that there's a time in his life that he found balance. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, speaking of himself, he still taught the people knowledge. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words that were written and were upright, words of truth. Solomon had the wisdom to understand and have balance, but he destroyed that when he loved foreign women and they influenced him to begin to sacrifice and serve other gods. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 9. You see, we can forfeit the balance of life when we turn away from God. There's emptiness. There's not contentment. You can be successful in your career, meet the goals you set, and still there's an emptiness. Something's missing. It's God. It's righteousness. It's what God made you for that's missing. Fear God and keep His commandments. That will fill that void. That will bring balance to life. The gospel call of salvation is what brings us to that balance. You see? Sin, it puts us in a life that's not balanced and destroys our souls. The gospel says, come to Jesus and have balance. Understand life, understand what's after this life. Live by faith, not by sight, and be blessed eternally. So become a Christian. That's the first step to finding and maintaining the balanced life. And then, as Christians, be content in lives of faith, of service to God and others, fearing Him, keeping His commandments, and in that way, use the times God has given us to His honor and glory. Won't you come and respond to His call while we stand and sing?